This is Vasudev. Krishna. The day of Krishna is speaking to Devaki and Vasudev. I have shown you this form of Vishnu just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. Purport. Devaki did not need to be reminded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared as her son. She already accepted this. Nonetheless, she was anxious, thinking that if her neighbors heard that Vishnu had appeared as her son, none of them would believe it. Therefore, she wanted Lord Vishnu to transform himself into a human child. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord was also anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that Lord Vishnu had appeared. Such are the dealings between the devotees and the Lord. The Lord deals with his devotees exactly like a human being. But this does not mean that the Lord is one of the human beings. For this is the conclusion of the non-devotees, avajanantima mudha manushim tanamashritam. Devotees know the Supreme Personality of Godhead under any circumstances. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The Lord says, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances and worship me. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person, one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But this is a fact. The Lord comes as a human being, and if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. Om Mangana Timarandasya Gananjana Shivaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Devaki and Vasudev, their desire was to have Vishnu as their son. So they maintained this desire for three lifetimes and performed intense austerities while holding on to this transcendental desire for Krishna darshan. And here, she finally got the darshan. But to confirm her and fulfill her desire, Krishna revealed himself as Vasudev Krishna, four-armed form of Krishna. Because Devaki and Vasudev, they did not have the Madhurya Gyan or Madhurya Bhakti of Yashoda Nanda. There was some desire. They wanted Krishna as their son. Whereas Nanda and Yashoda, they don't want anything for themselves. They want to serve Krishna as his mother and father. And they're the eternal mother and father of Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, two-armed form of Krishna. But the interesting point here is that the verse itself is explained that if I appeared as a human child, you would not believe the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared. So this is the different types of bhakti. There's Aishwarya Gyan Bhakti, and there's Madhurya Gyan Bhakti. So Aishwarya Gyan Bhakti, the difference between Aishwarya Gyan Bhakti and Madhurya Gyan Bhakti is a question of Shraddha, a question of faith. So those people that approach the Lord with the mood of Aishwarya, or opulence, or on reverence, respect, they cannot accommodate the idea that the Supreme Lord, the God himself, can become a human child, and that he can play in the forest of Vrindavan and play with cows and calves. This is very difficult for them. So they see the Lord as the Lord of Vaikuntha, as surrounded by majesty and opulence, Sadaishwarya Purna, Purna Bhagavan. This form of Bhagavan is full. He's full of all opulence, Aishwarya. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashashriya. And he invokes on reverence and this type of Lord, this powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent Lord, all-pervading, all-knowing, all-powerful. This Lord, this is God. I accept this God. I have faith in this God. I put my Shraddha there. I can worship this. I can worship God like this. This is called Aishwarya Gyan Bhakti. But if the Lord shows a human-like feature and plays in the dirt of Gokul and holds on to the tail of calves and gets dragged through the mud, or if he goes into the neighbor's house and he passes urine on the floor of the neighbors, or he steals butter and he rubs butter on the faces of the babies and he pinches them and makes them cry before he runs away and hides in the forest with his friends and eats all the stolen butter, I cannot accept this. I don't have faith. I don't have faith in this kind of God. This is not God. He's a thief. He's a chore. He's a lumpat. A lumpat and a chore. He steals people's property, butter, yogurt, and he runs with people's wives. He's a lumpat. Well, how can this be Krishna? How can this be God? This is not Bhagavan. This is some person that was some folklore. Bhagavan is Vishnu. So this is the limitation of Aishwarya Jnana Bhakti. Their Shraddha is not flexible. It is not deep. Their faith in God is not reached to the platform of appreciating the sweetness, the Nara-lila of the Lord. Because the Nara-lila is displayed in Vrindavan in its fullest, sweetest aspect. So as one's faith matures, then they accept, this is Krishna. They don't inquire, they don't doubt. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, their faith is of the topmost level. Their Madhurya Gyan Bhaktis. Their Madhurya, their knowledge, they're not Gyanis, don't think they're Gyanis. Their knowledge, their awareness of Krishna is that Krishna, he's our son. And we have to love him. And we have to feed him. If we don't feed him, he will die. You have to come home. Hey, Kanaya, come home and eat something. If you don't eat something, you've been running all day, you're going to fall over from fatigue. Come home and take some rasgullas, rabris, sabji, puri, halava. And then, so Mother Yashoda goes out and calls Krishna. He doesn't come home. And then she becomes frustrated and very angry. You know, not angry, but unhappy. And then she tells Rohini, Rohini, you go, you call him. So then Rohini goes and says, hey. Hey, Damodar. Hey, Govinda Gopal. You better come home. And he says, no, I'm staying, I'm not coming. So then she's very clever, Rohini's very clever, so then she thinks, oh, I have to catch his heart. I have to catch the heart of Krishna. So then Rohini thinks, Krishna is very soft for his devotees. He's very affectionate. Bhakta Vatsalya, Vatsyata. This is one of the visheshas of Krishna, his attributes, or his excellences, is his Vatsalya, his Vatsyata. He's affectionate for those that are affectionate for him. He loves those that love him. So then Rohini thinks, hey, Damodar, you know that Nanda Maharaj is hungry. Nanda Maharaj is waiting to eat something because he won't eat something unless you sit next to him. You have to sit next to him. You sit on one side and Balaram sits on the other side. So you come. You come now so Nanda Baba can eat. Huh? Damodar is thinking, Nanda can't eat? He's waiting for me? Oh, I don't want to cause any distress. I don't want to cause any distress to my devotee, to my Nanda Baba. He's my father. I love him in a sweet, wonderful way, and he loves me in a sweet, wonderful way. So then he goes. So, this is the Madhurya Bhakti of the residents of Braj. So that they don't ever think, is Krishna Bhagavan, is he? And even sometimes Narada Muni will come and tell Nanda Maharaj, he says, you know, that Garga Muni, he came here and he did your name, the name-giving ceremony, and he said that your son, he's Bhagavan, he's Narayan, he's a Tri Yuga avatar, or he comes in all the yugas, and all four, you know, yellow, black, white, red, and all the ages. He's so special. You should understand who your son is. And Nanda Maharaj says, what are you talking about? He's just my baby, he's my child. And when the lightning strikes and the thunder roars in the clouds, he comes and jumps in my arms and starts crying. Daddy, daddy, protect me, protect me. This is not Bhagavan. Bhagavan? He's afraid. And he's always misbehaving. I'm always pulling his ears all the time. How can this be Bhagavan? Bhagavan is Maryada Avatar. Bhagavan is Ram. He comes to establish laws and rules and regulations. This little boy, he's breaking everything. He breaks every rule, he breaks every regulation, he breaks the pots, he breaks the hearts of the gopas by stealing their wives. He breaks the hearts of his relatives, he's just stealing and breaking. He doesn't follow any maryada. He doesn't follow any rules. So this is the type of shraddha that you find in the Brijvasis, that they have this sweet approach. They fully accept Krishna is ours. As Prabhupada once said, he said, the gopis of Vrindavan, they think, this Krishna, he is a sweet, charming boy. He is the most beautiful boy of our village. He's the most attractive darling of our village. He's in our goshta. He's part of our gosht. He's part of our family. He's the most beautiful boy in our village. And it's natural that we're attracted to him. Who else could capture our hearts? Who else can enchant our minds? The way he walks, the way he glances with his eyes and plays his sweet melodious flute. When this flute song of Krishna enters our hearts fly out of our bodies like birds flying from a tree when you clap your hands. When you clap your hands under a tree, birds will fly away. So the flute song of Krishna has captured us. We can't think of loving another. We fall in love with this beautiful boy of our village. He's from our village. That they don't think, oh, we should love Krishna. He's the Sarva Avatari. He's a Sarva Shaktiman. He's everything. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matasavam Pravartate. Everything's within him, and he's within everything. Mayasavam Idam Par. You know, he doesn't. They don't think anything like that. They're attracted by two things: Sundarya and Prem. They're the beauty. Krishna's beautiful. And he's sweet. His love is sweet. Madhurya. Madhurya Prem. So they're only... All I know is I love him and he's beautiful. So this is Vrindavan. So this type of faith is this is the faith of the gopis. And they're the Parama Aradhya. They're the topmost worshippers of Krishna. Anaradhyate. Srimati Radharani, Radhika, and her expansions. They're all Parama Aradhya. They're the topmost worshippers of Krishna. Because they have the topmost faith. So our faith is meant to bring us to prema. Prema in its seed form is shraddha. And shraddha goes, it can go to the platform of Aishwarya, Jnana, Bhakti. It can go to Madhurya, Jnana, Bhakti. Your shraddha can go to Vaikuntha. Your shraddha can take you to Braj, Gokul. But Prishni and Sutapa, and they became Devaki and Nanda, their shraddha took them only to Mathura. Mathura is mixed with Aishwarya and Madhurya. But when you cross the Yamuna and come to Vrindavan, the Aishwarya stays on the other side of the river. The Aishwarya stays in Mathura. Mathura and Dwarka are basically the two halves of the same room. Two halves of this. You have one room and you put a room divider between it. It's one room. So they're two halves of the same room. The Aishwarya of Dwarka is a little thicker than the Aishwarya of Mathura. But the residents, the Mathura Vasis, are all the same personalities you find in Dwarka. They all get shifted. They take rest at night and they're sleeping peacefully, although maybe thinking that Jarasandha, maybe he comes again and attacks. Wasn't it Jarasandha attacks? Jarasandha. So they may be thinking like that, but they took rest. And then when they woke up, where were they? They were in Dwarka, but they didn't even notice anything, except instead of seeing trees and land and Govardhan in the distance, they saw ocean. And this ocean was the Vatsalya Ras of Krishna, because he had so much affection for them that they were being harassed by these attacks of asuras like Jarasandha. So then they took rest peacefully and they were transported invisibly, magically. Transported. They had palaces in Mathura, they had royal opulence in Mathura. And then when, you know, Akura and all these personalities, Devaki, Vasudeva, they were all kings and living kingly life. Krishna lived, how many years he lived? He lived for 17 years in Mathura. He didn't live in a goshala. In Mathura, Krishna didn't live in a goshala, sleeping next to the cows. He lived in a huge palace, as did Akrura and Vasudeva and Devaki, etc. Krishna went there when he was 11 to Mathura, and he went to Dwarka when he was 28. So when he woke up, they found a palace and opulence. It's all the same thing. But this is, but the Mathura Vasis, they have this mood of Aishwarya Gyan Bhakti. So that is where Devaki and Vasudeva appeared. They appeared there. And there Aishwarya Gyan Bhakti attracted Vasudeva Krishna to come and say, yes, here I am, I'm your son, God is your son. But they could not taste the sweet Naralila that Yashoda and Nanda tasted in the, on the banks of Yamuna and Nandagaon and Gokul. Why? Because their Shraddha was not, they did not have pure Shraddha. Their Shraddha, their faith was not of the same development. Faith means their love. The intensity of the Vatsalya Bhav of Srimati Yashodamayi can never be compared to any personality in the entire universe. Nanda Maharaj takes a second to his wife. The extent of her affection, which is demonstrated most clearly in the Damodar Leela. How great a devotee Yashodamayi is. That Satyavrata Muni glorified her love in his famous Ashtakam, Damodar Ashtakam, which is written in Satya Yuga. This is a Nitya Vandanam. Sanatana Goswami explains this is an eternal prayer. Nitya Vandanam is eternally perfect. Namam Ishvaram Satchir Anandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashodabi Yolukala Dvavamanam Param Ristam Atyantam Todruta Gopya. Hey, Damodar. So, Damodar, who gave the name Damodar to Damodar? Who gave the name Govinda to Govinda? Who gave the name Gopal to Gopal? Good question. So who gave the name Damodar is Mother Yashoda. So the name Damodar glorifies Mother Yashoda for her Vatsalya Bhav. This is Madhurya. This is Shraddha. So these are some points here we can consider that she, Prabhupada mentioned, or the mentions in here that she would not believe, if he appeared as a human child, she would not believe that the Supreme Personality of God had appeared. In other words, her Shraddha was not at the level where she could accept the Naralila of the Lord. Just like so many people in this world, even if they're pious and religious, their faith is not developed to the stage which they can accept the full extent of the Naralila of the Lord. Nara means human being. Lila means transcendental pastimes. They're activities of the Lord. So they're pious people. They believe in God. They believe in Vishnu. They may even believe in Krishna, Gopal Krishna. They may believe that God can appear as a boy in Gokul, Gopal Krishna. There are many millions of people in India that believe that. They have faith, belief, trust, belief, Shraddha. But when you explain that the Gopal you worship with the laddu in his hand, your little laddu Gopal, do you know what happens? He grows up and he becomes Krishna Kishore. Right? He's no longer Kumar, Krishna Kumar, right? Krishna Kumar means little boy. Krishna Kumar, 5 years old. But Krishna Kumar grows up and he becomes 15 years old. Kaishur, Navayovanam. And then what does he do? He doesn't chase after ladus anymore. When he's Krishna Kumar, the gopis come and say, hey Kumar, we'll clap our hands. And if you dance while we clap our hands, we'll give you a laddu. We'll give you some laddus. Jai ho, Parthasarathi ki jai ho. Hey, Kumar. Come on. Krishna kaniya talji kavaya. They start chanting and singing some song. And Krishna's dancing. Then they say, oh, very nice. Here, take some laddu. One and two and three and four. This is God, Gopal. But when you come to these people and you say, do you know that Gopal grows up, he becomes Govinda? Gopal becomes Govinda when he takes up the cows at the age of 5. And Gopastami, it's graduation day. He leaves kindergarten. And Gopastami, he graduates and goes out with the big, big mothers, the cows. Now he's Govinda. And then he grows a little more. He comes into the spring of his youth. Then he becomes Madhav, blossoming with sweetness. Madhav means Krishna. Madhav means spring. Madhav means the freshness and beauty and aroma of spring. And that's all Krishna reveals that. And then his beauty emanates and spreads throughout the village of Vrindavan, and everyone becomes attracted. Then he becomes Madhav and Krishna Kishore, Shyam Sundar, Ghanashyam, Muralidhar, Gopinath. No! This is not God! God can't do this! It's not possible! God is Gopal. So there's millions of people that do not have the faith in the Nara Leela of Krishna when he's chasing the gopis. This cannot be God. God cannot be immoral. God cannot do this. We can do it. We can have Parakiya Bhav. We can run with the wives of others, or run with the husbands of others and have adultery and have a paramour. Why not? It's in the newspapers all the time. That's all the Bombay people do, right? Delhi people, Bombay. Movie stars and all that. But God's doing this? Parakiya Bhav, gopis, what? He doesn't have, there's no Ekpatni Brata? What is this? Krishna? What is, no, no. Gopal never grows up. Gopal is always Gopal. So, they reject this. They say, this is some folklore. This is not God. He doesn't grow up and run with gopis and play the flute and have Rasa Leela. We don't believe this. Although these people are Vishnu Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas, Gopal Bhaktas, they don't have the faith. Their love for Krishna is tinged with Aishwarya Gyan. Aishwarya Gyan Bhakti. But a Madhurya Gyan Bhakti, he understands that Krishna, he has so many features and so many forms. Anantarupam. Advaitam, Achutam, Anant, Anadim, Anantarupam. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Vereshu Durlavam, Adurlavam. Atma Bhakto, Govindamari Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. This is Sudurlavam. This is very rare and difficult to understand. So Devaki and Vasudev, they were of a lower caliber of prema than the prema of Yashoda Mai. This is one point we can consider. Now another point we can consider is that this verse is showing how that Krishna is reciprocating with her desire. Devaki and Vasudev maintained an intense desire over three lifetimes and performed unspeakable, incredible austerities to have darshan of Krishna. Vasudev, Vishnu, form. And they got it. So we might question ourselves. We can see here that there's some principles. They're teaching some principles here of sadhana. It's tattva vichar, lila vichar. So this is some sadhana. And they're teaching that one should perform bhakti, the activities of devotion one should perform with some ashabandha, desire, hope against hope, with a strong hope. I have a hope. What is your hope? Well, I don't know. I hope I get prasadam today. I hope I get a room in the guest house. Or I hope I make a life member, whatever. There's different things. So, this ashabandha means intense hope for perfection, to attain prema, to have darshan of Krishna. So here, these are Shuddha Bhaktas, pure devotees. Devaki and Vasudev. And they're showing an example of sadhana tattva, of the actual teachings of sadhana, how one should perform or practice. So they were performed tapasya, austerity, penance, and charity should never be given up, even by the great, great devotees. So they did intense tapasya and penance and self-denial and control. But in their hearts, they had a desire, they wanted to see Krishna. So, the acharyas explain that when one is chanting mala, for example, this is a sadhana, shravanam kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam. So we're chanting mala, chanting japa, but we might ask ourselves, what are we thinking? What are we thinking when we're chanting japa? So, acharyas will advise that when one is chanting japa, he should think, Krishna, when will you come and show yourself to me? Oh Krishna, oh Radha and Krishna, when will you reveal yourself to me? When will that day be mine? When will you show yourself to me? Because chanting the holy name of the Lord is a call. Prabhupada explained like this. He said that chanting Hare Krishna is a call. The child is calling for his mother. The genuine calling or crying. Calling, hey mother, hey mata, come. Hey Radha, hey Krishna. Krishna, hey Radha, hey. Please come. Please come to me. Please come into my heart. Like Gundicha Marjanam. Marjanam, Gundicha Marjanam Leela. Mahaprabhu is cleansing the heart. And calling, hey Jagannath, hey Lord, hey Prananath, mat prananatas tu sevanaparaha. You're my Prananath, you're my Brijendranandan Krishna, you're my Jagannath. See, my heart is shining like a mirror. I'm calling you, please come inside. And I'm pulling you. You have to drive into my heart, isn't he? He comes very graphically. He comes very graphically into the heart of the Gundicha Mandir. On a car, in a car, in a chariot. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching by this that the devotee, he is supposed to call the Lord into his heart. Invoke the presence of the Lord and perform bhakti with this ashabanda, with this desire, with this aspiration. Oh Krishna, please, I'm chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. So I'm chanting this mantra means I'm building a Rath Yatra cart. This is my Rath Yatra cart. This mantra, the wheels, the spoke, the canopy, the asan. Right? Because if you see the Jagannath cart of Lord Jagannath, it has 16 wheels. Why does it have 16 wheels? Why doesn't it have 14 wheels, or 12 wheels, or 18 wheels? Why does Jagannath's cart have 16 wheels? Because the Supreme Personality of God, it has 16 potencies. Leela, Neela, Gir, Bhuj, like that. Ladini, so many different potencies are mentioned in one purport. Pushti, Leela, Leela Shakti, Pushti Shakti, Gir Shakti, Bhu Shakti, Ladini Shakti. So many different Shaktis are there. So the Lord, the Supreme, Sarvasya Shakti Vividaya Shuyate, the Lord has unlimited Shaktis, but sometimes when they're listed as 16 different potencies. So Krishna, Shaktiman, the Purusha, he moves on the strength of a Shakti. Because a Shaktiman cannot do anything without potency. If a man has no potency, he can't do anything. If he has no physical power, no mental, this mental shakti, right? That's also shakti. The word shakti means power, potency. If you have no physical power, there's physical power, mental power, intellectual power, emotional power. These are all shaktis. But if you're lying down, can't do anything. When you're incapacitated and you can't do anything, then you have no shaktis. Your mind, you lost your mind, you became, what do you call it? Okay. Amnesia, right? Amnesia. You forget things. You lost your mind. You became senile or amnesia. You have no discrimination power, no intellect. And you have some disease of muscular dystrophy, so you have no muscles. You're just lying in a hospital bed. So you can't accomplish much. You can't do anything without shaktis. So Krishna has 16 different shaktis by which he moves, by which he accomplishes things. So that's how Brijendranandan and Krishna moves on 16 wheels, which represent the 16 shaktis. So, we're chanting Hare Krishna. This makes the chariot. And Krishna can move on this chariot into our heart. So this is the practice of bhajan. When we're practicing chanting Hare Krishna, we should be thinking, oh Krishna, please come into my heart. My heart is Gundicha Mandir. Sometimes, Gundicha Mandir is called Sundara, Sundarachala. A mountain of gold. Achala means mountain. Sundara means swarna, gold. It also means beautiful. But in this case, it means golden. Nilachala and Sundarachala. Nilachala is Krishna. Brijendranandan Krishna. Nilachala is where Jagannath resides. And Sundarachala is where Radharani resides, in the groves of Vrindavan. So Krishna comes to Vrindavan. He leaves Nilachala and he comes to Sundarachala. So our hearts must become golden, like Sundarachala, like Gundicha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught by this pastime of Gundicha Mandir Marjanando, cleansing of Gundicha Mandir, he taught that our hearts must shine like gold. Now they're black, they're glossy, and they're black like coal. Coal, how do you say coal in Hindi? What's coal in Hindi for coal? Koila? Oh, sounds the same. Koila means coal. So, Prabhupada said we wash, we chant, and we chant, and we chant.
Like washing coal. We put coal under the water, coil under the pani, and rub it. And the pani keeps coming black, 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 black. So we're chanting, 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 but still our hearts are black. 25 years chanting, and then still some blackness is there. Why? It's because of aparad. Aparad, anartha, avidya. Ignorance. Avidya. Improper practice of bhajan. So, chanting Hare Krishna should bring about a condition where the heart becomes not golden, but becomes sterling, shining, not like even gold, like diamonds. Because this same object called koila or coal, over time, with time and proper conditions, kala, desha, and patra, time, kala, desha, place, and patra, conditions, this coal will turn into a hira, diamond. Koila becomes hira. Coal becomes diamond. This is what the scientists say. We say that diamonds and ratna are produced in the ocean and in different animals and different entities due to different nakshatras or constellations. At any rate, they say that coal, when coal stays in the earth for millions and millions of years, it becomes a diamond because of pressure and time and all these different factors. So the same way, over time, with the proper pressure, our blackened hearts will become like diamonds. They'll be shining. It'll be like golden and shining. And then Krishna will want to come there and sit there. So this is the mood of chanting, japa, as Prishni and Sutapa. So the point is that for three lifetimes they maintained this. They did their bhajan, their bhakti, their tapa, and hell had this firm desire, oh Krishna, we want to have you as our son. So when chanting Hare Krishna, one can think, oh Krishna, when will you show yourself to me? This is called samutkanta. It's an eagerness. Utkanta. Like Tulsi Kanti. Kanta means neck. And utkanta means to extend the neck. Oh, is someone coming? If you're anticipating the arrival of a friend, he's supposed to come at an appointed time. When that time arrives, you will become anxious. You'll become eager to see him, and your anxiety to meet him will increase to a high pitch, and you will extend your neck. Oh, where is he? He's due. Is he? And you'll look outside. Well, this is utkant, samutkanta. Completely eager, completely anxious to meet the Lord, to see the Lord. So this is a symptom, of course, of advancement in bhakti. But even a neophyte, he can chant the holy name with this type of bhavana, this type of mood. Oh Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Oh Krishna, oh Radhika, when will you show yourself to me? When will you reveal to me? I see in the Shastras that there are stories of different devotees that you show yourself to them, you give darshan to them, even though they haven't attained perfection, such as Bilvamangala Thakur. Bilvamangala Thakur was a sadhaka. He was not a siddha. He had not yet attained prema or even bhava. But as a sadhaka, Krishna gave him darshan. Why? Why will Krishna give darshan to a sadhaka? Because he wants to reciprocate. Yayatam amprapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. That sadhaka is anxious to see his beloved Lord. As Prabhupada closes his purport with the basic sutra, which summarizes the entire principle being discussed here, he says like this, if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. Attachment. In love. He says, become attached to Krishna in love. So if you are attached to someone, you definitely want to see them. You want to see them, you want to touch them, you want to serve them, you want to associate with them, you want to talk with them, and listen to them. Is it not? You're attached to your mother, or your father, or your wife, or husband, or friends, so you want to see them, hear from them. Oh, give me a ring, I'd like to hear from you. You've been in India for 12 years, and you never call home. Don't you? We like to see you, hear from you, something, because of attachment. So chanting Hare Krishna with some attachment, oh Krishna, I'm your devotee, can't you please show yourself to me? I'm not Bilvamangala Thakur, I'm not a siddha either, and I haven't attained prema, what to speak of bhav, and neither did he. But somehow you felt inclined to show yourself to him. And why did you do it? Why did you do that? Why do you sometimes give darshan to your eager devotees? Why? Because Krishna wants to reciprocate with the eagerness of the devotee's heart. And he wants to encourage him. And he wants to clear away any threads or any shades of doubt that devotee may be still harboring, that are preventing him from making that final leap of faith and making that final sankalpa, a mental resolve within himself by which he fixes his mind on the goal and never again becomes deviated. Because when one receives darshan of Krishna, then of course his anarthas become annihilated practically to nil, and he becomes filled with devotional enthusiasm and becomes fixed on the goal. So Krishna will sometimes do this. But nevertheless, this is what Vrishni and Sutapa show, that they never gave up, birth after birth, three lifetimes, that this intense desire. So Prabhupada is talking about attachment, that he says here, if one becomes attached to the Lord. So attachment, this means, this is a high development of bhakti, attachment. Attachment is two steps away from prema, asakti. Attachment for the Lord. There's Shraddha, Ado Shraddha Tata Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. So Anartha Nivritti is required. Kam, Krodh, Lo, Moha, Matsarya. These things must be annihilated. So before we become attached to the Lord, we must have a taste for the Lord. Ruchi. So what is ruchi? That we can understand. Do we have actually taste? So in the beginning, in the level of Anartha Nivritti, we're performing our actions out of duty, out of fear, out of respect, at a worshipful distance. But when we come to ruchi, when one is at the platform of ruchi, then he actually has a taste. He has a taste for practicing devotional activities. And it's easy for him to become absorbed in devotional activities. He doesn't have to be forced. Forced to come to Mangalarti, forced to read, forced to chant. He no longer has the idea, I have to chant. I have to chant my rounds. I have to go to Mangalarti. But I'd rather sleep. I'd rather read the newspaper than chant my rounds. But I have to do it. This means no ruchi. No Krishna ruchi. No taste. Another symptom of ruchi is that when one practices chanting or hearing, reading, hearing, chanting, serving, he doesn't become tired. He doesn't become fatigued. Whereas when one has no ruchi, no nam ruchi, no taste for Krishna, then he chants a little bit, oh, Hare Krishna, good night. He chants a few rounds, he wants to take rest. Or he reads a little bit, or as soon as he starts reading, that's the instant sleeping pill. So this means no ruchi, no ruchi at all. So that means back down to nishta, maybe nishta, then back down to anartha nivritti. So asakti, the attachment comes after ruchi. And in the difference between ruchi and attachment, at the level of ruchi, one, he has some taste for reading and chanting. But at the platform of ruchi, sometimes his mind becomes distracted by material desires due to his prabdhas, prabdha karmas. He becomes distracted by material desires or by material sense gratification. And then he has to deliberately pull his mind back. Oh, where's my mind going? What am I thinking? Let me read the Bhagavatam. Let me chant some japa. Let me do kirtan. He has to pull his mind back. But when one comes to attachment, to this, when one actually becomes attached to Krishna and comes to the platform of asakti, which is before bhav and before prem, at the level of asakti, then the person's mind spontaneously becomes absorbed in Krishna. It just spontaneously, and he sees everything and everyone in relation to Krishna. And Vishnu Chakravartipada in Madhurya Kadambini, he explains some scenarios or some anecdotes about how the mind of a bhakta, a devotee, on the platform of Asakti, the way his mind works, the way his mind works, because he's automatically and spontaneously absorbed in Krishna. So when he sees, and he doesn't have to force his mind to think of Krishna. The person on the platform of Ruchi, he has taste, but he can. But sometimes he's distracted to other tastes, to the tastes for Maya. But he has a good taste for practicing devotional activities, but sometimes he gets distracted. But when we come to Asakti, then we're actually attached to the Lord. And they explain that, like this, when one has jaundice, liver disease, the medicine is sugar, misri, rock candy. You take the rock candy, but you have no taste. You have no taste for it. But as you become healthy and your liver becomes cured, then you have a taste. Then you can really relish the taste. So this is like ruchi, you can relish the taste. Then attachment, asakti, is such that you don't even do anything and your mind automatically remembers Krishna, not with any volition. At ruchi you have a taste for it and you go to Krishna. You make a choice, yes, I want Krishna. And you lose, the symptom of ruchi is you lose your taste and attraction for other things. You lose your attraction when you have taste, Bhagavat ruchi. When you have taste for Bhagavatam, you'll no longer read the newspaper. Or, what is it, India Today, or whatever those different kinds of magazines they have in India. You won't touch it. You'll know that. But if you have no taste, that means when you still have taste for Gramya Katha, when you still have taste for stool, when stool comes in front of you, you'll go for it. You'll take it. Newspaper, magazines, it is stool. It is told in the first canto of Bhagavatam, these type of literatures are pilgrimage places for the ka, 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 ka. When you spit, when you blow your nose, like in India, you know, they go like this. The crow comes there and eats it. So when a newspaper comes in your door, you're the crow and you eat it. You eat the newspaper. You eat the magazine. It is like the crow eating the stool. These newspapers and magazines are for crow-like people. And one purport prophet says, my devotees, they don't read newspapers. You can look in the folio, all your little folio people. It's there. My disciples, they don't read newspapers and magazines. So a disciple, a devotee of Prabhupada, he has Bhagavad Ruchi. He has taste for Shastra. He doesn't want. What is there? What will you get from there? You'll get sense gratification because you have a taste and an attraction for sense gratification. Very unfortunate. So the remedy is keep taking the sugar candy. Keep chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the question is, well, how does one develop attachment? By associating with devotees who have it. It's called para-sakti, shadow attachment. So when you associate with advanced devotees that are attached to hearing and chanting, then the moon-like rays, as Rupa Goswami explains, Nectar Devotion, the moon-like rays of bhakti, the moon-like rays of bhakti from their hearts reflect onto our hearts. It's called pratibimba-sakti. It's reflected. Pratibimba means like a reflection. When we stay with advanced devotees, then the moonlight rays of bhakti and attachment which they have for the Lord, or bhava, or prema, depending on the caliber and level of adhikari of that devotee, they reflect in our hearts. And then we get a taste also. Just like if you spend 1 year traveling with Radha Govinda Swami, listening to Bhagavad Saptaha, what do you think will happen? I would think so that after 1 year of hearing 25 saptahas or 30 or whatever he does, that you would get attached to the Srimad Bhagavatam. That you would get purified. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. Punya Shravana. By hearing those topics, you would be extremely purified and develop your Bhagavat Asakti. What to speak of, become advanced in devotion. Because you're hearing Bhagavat from a pure devotee, you're associating with a pure devotee. So this is Sangha. By association, we develop our attachment. The psychology of attachment is perfectly depicted by Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Dayato Vishyan Pumsam Sangha Vijayate. He says that Vishaya Dhyan, the object of meditation, Dayato, Dhyanam, Vishaya Dhyanam. You meditate on this object, you contemplate, you think about this object, and what happens? Sangha. Sangha means that you get attached. Vijayate, surely you will. You will be victorious. You have victory in your pursuit. If you contemplate an object, you'll get attached. So who is the ultimate object? Nectar Devotion, it explains, it analyzes, in Rasa Tattva, it explains about Alambana. It talks about Alambana, it talks about Vibhav, Anubhav, right? So this Alambana has two aspects. So one is Vishaya. So the ultimate Vishaya is Krishna. So Vishaya, Dhyanam, Vishaya, Krishna is the ultimate Vishaya, and the Jiva, the devotee, is the Ashray. The Ashray Tattva and the Vishray Tattva. The ultimate object of meditation is Krishna. So another way which we can become attached to Krishna is by Rup Dhyanam, by meditating on the form of Krishna, by contemplating Krishna. We become attached to Him. In the Bhagavatam, in several verses, Vyasadeva, he mentions, he gives a shrutifal, he gives benedictions for those who hear those particular chapters. But there's a qualification, there's an adhikar for hearing. You can't just hear with open ears like the holes of a conch shell. You have to hear with open minds and open heart. With a flexible mind that's willing to change. With a softened heart that's willing to surrender. These are the qualifications to hear Harikatha. The mind must be willing to take shape around the instructions of the Shastra. This is a shiksha. And then we change our lives. We change our thinking. We change our feelings. We change our willing. Our willing means our actions. So the mind has three functions. Thinking, feeling, and action, or willing. So the mind must take shape around the instructions of the acharyas and the Shastras. So this is proper hearing. So this is a word that's always used by Shukamuni, that he says that if you hear this chapter, if you hear Govinda Lila Shravanam, if you hear Govinda Lila with Shraddha, or Shraddha Anvita, sometimes he says Shraddha Anvita, or Shraddha, if you hear Govinda Lila with Shraddha, with love and devotion, then you will get the boon, Shrutifal, you will get the benediction of becoming attached to Krishna. At the end of the story about Putana Mardana, the killing of Putana, or well, you could say killing of Putana, the killing of Putana's demonic mentality, and the acceptance of Vatsalya Bhav, and the promotion of Putana to Krishna's Dhatri and Vaikuntha, that's the Putana Leela. After hearing that chapter, Shukamuni says, anyone who hears this chapter describing the pastimes of Govinda will become attached to the Lord. Asakti. But become attached. By hearing Krishna's pastimes, by Rup Dhyanam, by meditating on Krishna's form, and by Rasika Bhakta Sarusanga, by associating with advanced devotees, we will develop attachment for the Lord. So, these are some points as verse and purport. If one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. Vasudeva Krishna said to Devaki and Vasudev, I have shown you this form of Vishnu just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. So, we'll stop there if there's any questions. Well, that's the analogy. The question is, how does this attachment come? Is that what you're saying? It comes by the practice of devotional service, basically. So, if, like you said, a devotee will become attached to Krishna by performing devotional service properly. If he's performing devotional service improperly, as Rupa Goswami explains, even if the devotee comes to the platform of a sakti, you know, he becomes to this attachment, he's almost at the threshold of bhava bhakti. Very advanced. He's crossed over anartha nivritti to a large extent. And he's come to nishchita bhakti and ruchi. Now he's at a sakti. But If he improperly practices his devotion and commits Vaishnava aparad, then his asakti can become extinguished. The word the Prabhupada uses in Nectar Devotion is extinguished. Extinguished means put out. Khatam hogya. Right? So you're a devotee and you would surely receive that great promotion to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti as the second and third level of advanced, you know, perfection. On the steps to perfection. However, if we fall into this pitfall of aparad, we can be annihilated. Our bhakti lata can be annihilated. But that's the analogy, the jaundice analogy, that we do vaidhi bhakti properly and correctly, and we're taking the sugar, and then gradually then we get a taste for sugar. Right? We get, as when the jaundice goes away from the liver, it becomes pure, then its sugar tastes very nice. So as we perform vaidhi sadhana properly, then we become attached to a type of attachment. A type of raga awakens, and then we perform raganuga sadhana bhakti, and then our attachment increases more, and then as attachment comes in the beginning is we have some attraction or attachment to the Lord, but it's very small. We also have a lot of attachment and a lot of attraction to Maya, and as the attraction and attachment for Maya as the attraction and attachment for Krishna increases, then the attachment and attraction for Maya decreases. They're incompatible. They can't live together. No, even before, at the platform of Ruchi, when one comes to the platform of the higher level of Ruchi, then it starts to become very clear what his particular sthayi bhav is. Anyone can have a similar... No one can become Yashoda. No one can become Nanda Maharaj. No one can become Radharani or any of these parishads of the Lord. You can have the bhava, that vatsalya bhav, that mood. Just like the gopis, the elderly gopis of Vrindavan. Many of them, almost all of them, they wanted to have Krishna as their son, but that can only be Yashoda. So, but Krishna, knowing their desire to reciprocate with them, for 1 year, he arranged this lila, where Brahma stole all the boys. And then Krishna, he became the sons, and then all these mothers of Vrindavan got their desires, so they all became Yashoda for 1 year. So in this way, Krishna accommodates all the different aspirations of bhava and his disciples. Just like the Dandakaranya sages, they were, their rasa was dasya rasa for Gopal. And then when they saw Ram with Sita, they became filled with amorous feelings. And they wanted to have Madhurya rasa with him. Although they were fixed in this mood of dasya bhakti towards Gopal, as his Gopal's servants. But then they saw the beautiful exchanges between Sita and Ram. They saw, we want to have this mood of Madhurya, of Sita. And so then they became the gopis. And they entered the Rasalila, Maharas. And they got to dance with Krishna. And had their desire fulfilled. Now the original question, because it's getting late, is that Rupa Goswami mentions 64 limbs of devotion in the Bhakti Rasamrita to Sindhu. Then he summarized those into 9 forms of devotion, which are also mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj in 7th canto of Bhagavatam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Arshanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping Lord, offering prayers, becoming a servant, a friend, and ultimate full surrender. So that's explained there. So then he explains in one chapter, there's of all these 9, then there's 5 that are most important. And what is Mathura Vas? To live in Mathura. These 5 limbs, these panchanga, these are the Parama Anga. These are the topmost limbs of devotion. If one follows any of these limbs without offense and with proper mood and attitude and offenselessly, he can attain perfection of Prema Bhakti. So one of them is Mathura Vas. Actually, in relation to Asakti, it's explained also that in the Nectar Devotion, that not only hearing Krishna's pastimes, if one comes to Vrindavan and visits, if he visits Krishna's places of pastimes in Vrindavan, Nandagan, Barsana, Shamkun, Radhakun, Govardhan, just by visiting, by a Tirtha Yatra, to this Chintamani Dham Sri Vrindavan, which is the Prayag of the Prayags, is a Tirtha Raj of the Tirtha Rajas. It's the topmost place. It's not a Tirtha, it's a holy Dham, it's Krishna's abode. It's Prem Dham. Chintamani Dham, so it's far beyond any holy Tirtha. It's the transcendental abode of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But it's explained in Nectar Devotion that if one comes to Vrindavan and visits the Leela Stalis of the Lord, just by visiting Krishna's pastime places, a person can develop attachment. He can develop a sakti for the Lord. So powerful is the Dham. Because the Dham is Balaram, Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti. It is not, is, how powerful is Balaram? There's no one more powerful. So he expands himself in five different forms, and one of the forms is Ananta Shesh expands as the holy Dham of Vrindavan. So by contacting Vrindavan, you're touching that holy body of Balaram. So he may infuse your heart with incredible spiritual power and potency to make you attached to the Lord. So that's another way of becoming attached. Srupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, one thing is Mathura Vas, to live in Mathura Vrindavan or to visit. But the specific limb he's talking about is Mathura Vas, to live in Vrindavan and do your bhajan. Either you live there physically, but even when you're physically there, you must be mentally there. If you're physically in Vrindavan, but you're mentally in Baroda, forget it. Or if you're physically in Vrindavan, you're mentally in New York, or you're in Montreal, or you're in London. You're not there. You are not there. A man is, you live where your mind is. Where your mind is where your life is. So what is your mind? My mind is money. Right? The materialist. Money. I want money. So he's always thinking of money, making money, dreaming of money, reading about money, touching money, smelling money. That's his life. He kisses it. Money. You see, and they kiss it. They sleep with it. They sleep with money in the pillow. They kiss it, smell it, sleep with it, embrace it, keep it on their body 24 hours a day. They wear it. So Krishna should be like that. We should wear Krishna, think of Krishna, taste Krishna, smell Krishna, see Krishna. Prabhupada said you should chant Hare Krishna when you're eating. You should chant Hare Krishna when you're sleeping. You should chant Hare Krishna when you're bathing. You should chant Hare Krishna Akhanda Kirtan all the time. So the first thing is Mathura Vas. The second thing is to Sri Murti Seva, Shraddha Seva, to serve the Murti of the Lord, the form of the Lord, with great Shraddha, with great faith, love and devotion. To serve Krishna with love and devotion, the Archimurti. These words are there. Sri Murti Seva, Shraddha, Shraddha Seva. Then Bhagavat Bhakta Sangha. Yeah, Bhagavat Shravan, Rasika Bhakta Sangha. It says that one should hear the Bhagavatam in the association of Rasika Vaishnavas. What is a Rasika Vaishnava? The question is asked. A Rasika Vaishnava is one who is well versed in Rasa Tattva. There's two levels of a Rasika Vaishnava. One is the Jnanic aspect and the Vijnanic aspect. Or Jnan and Vijnan. One is the aspect of the science. There's theory and practice, right? You study all about economy in college. That's all about money and economy. Now the practice is go out in the field and see if you can make, you know, open a shoe store and make some money. You may know everything about business and accounts and everything, but you open your shoe store and you can't even sell one pair of shoes. You're not very good at economy. All your study of business and commerce is a waste of time. The whole idea is to make money. You study business. So first you have to be versed in the science. There's a tattva. Tattva means science, truth, substance. There's a science, rasa tattva. There's jiva tattva, guru tattva, ishvara tattva. Right? So there's rasa tattva. So a rasika bhakta, he knows the science, so that's the theoretical aspect. And by the purity, by the advancement of his devotion, he's tasting. Ras. Ras means taste. Rasuvai saha. Krishna says, Rasuvai saha. I am made of ras. Rasuvai saha. I am Rasika, Rasaraj. I am Krishna, Sri Krishna Rasaraj. I am the Emporium, Akila Rasamrita Murti. I am the Murti, I am the form, I am the embodiment, the personification of unlimited rasa and taste. So, by an advanced devotee who has come to the platform of a sakti, then he can actually, not only does he know the science of rasa tattva, anubhavi bhava, etc., but when he reads the rasic literatures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a Parama Rasa Grant, it's a Parama Rasa Grant, when he reads these literatures, he can understand in the Sanskrit and in the context of the, what's being told in English or whatever, the description of the pastimes, he understands, oh, this is Vibhav, this is Anubhav, and he can actually taste Bhakti Ras, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So when such a devotee who has the Adhikar, he understands the science of Rasa Tattva, and he has advanced his devotion to the level of being able to taste Bhakti Ras, which begins on a platform of Ruchi to a minute degree, and then increases more and more at Asakti and like that. He can actually tasting these bhaktis, these different flavors of bhakti, when he's reading. So then when he's, that's the person you should hear the Bhagavatam from. Because when you hear the Bhagavatam from such a devotee, in his voice is full of rasa. If there is no liquid in your mouth, you can't speak. You know? If you go in a desert and it's all dry, you can't speak. You do Nirjali Kadasi, or you know, you become so hot and dry, you can't speak. I can't speak. I love my because there's no rasa, there's no liquid, there's no water in your mouth. So the, just like if a person has a disease is in their saliva. I had a, what was that? There was this, some lady was going around Europe kissing everybody and giving them a disease. What was that? You know, there was something in the old days. The kid, they called it the, something, Mary or something. Because it's called the kiss of death. Well, that's also in a Veda, it's the same thing as there. But it's called the kiss of death. So that what happened, what they do is, Prabhupada told us on a tape, and you're listening, you must know this one. Prabhupada said that sometimes in the kingly society, the king would take a daughter, because in the Vedic culture, unfortunately, there wasn't much women's lib. So they didn't care so much for lady children, so much. So sometimes in a kingly family, the king would take one daughter, and he would give her a little poison. It may be a daughter from a concubine or whatever, you know, a paramour or whatever. But she's in the king's court. So the daughter is given a little bit of datura, poison. A little bit, tiny, tiny. And then, not enough to kill the person, just a little poison. And then, a year later, a month later, a little more, gradually more and more. But not enough to kill the person, but datura or some poison. So what happens is, by giving a little bit, this is a principle of medicine, it's antibodies and all this, you get injection, which means they give you a disease, a little bit of the disease. Injection means they give you smallpox. They give it to you. That's what the injection is. Then your body responds by building a defense mechanism against that disease. Then if you get a big dose of smallpox, then you can fight for it. You can defend yourself. This is some principle of injections, which sounds ridiculous, but that's what they do. So by getting a little bit of this poison every day, this lady, this little girl, as she grows up, she doesn't die from that poison. It becomes part of her body. It's in her bloodstream, it's in her saliva. Vishakanya, is it called Vishakanya? Vishakanya, poison virgin. So then the king says, okay, now you're fully grown, you're a young woman, and you're my daughter, I want you to do some service. This king, there's a king that's going to attack me. And he's a very lusty king, and he's very powerful, he's going to eliminate our kingdom. You go see him, you go seduce him and kiss him. So then she'll go to that king, and she'll meet that king and she'll kiss him. And then some saliva will go inside. Some of her, you know, her rasam, some saliva in the king. And that saliva of that Vishakanya, of that girl, is full of datura. It's high concentration of poison. It doesn't kill her because she grew with it through her life. But as soon as it enters the king, a minute later, bah, hogya, finished. So this means her saliva is full of poison. So the Rasika Bhakta, his heart is full of ras, bhakti ras. So his saliva is full of bhakti ras. So the words that come across his tongue, when he speaks Harikata, the Harikatamritam, Tavakatamritam Taptajivanam, Tavakatamritam Taptajivanam, that when he speaks, or she, or whomever, speaks Harikata, the rasam, that bhakti ras that's moving in their hearts and surging in their hearts will saturate their words. Their words are saturated with that bhakti ras. So when you hear the Bhagavat from them, you will get bhakti. Because you can hear the Bhagavatam from many speakers. If that person who's speaking Bhagavatam is a Mayavadi, you will get this type of, this is Shunyavadi Bhasha. This is Shunyavadi. Shunyavadi Bhasha. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi Shunya. Mayavadi Shunya Bhashya Sunya. He said, avoid, never hear this Bhashya. Never hear this language or this speaking by a Mayavadi, because that kind of Visho, that'll be Vishakanya. That'll be, the poison will come in your heart. And you can hear the Bhagavad from a devotee, but he's a Jnanamishra Bhakta. There are many types of devotees. You must know. So a Jnanamishra Bhakta, he's a devotee, but his devotional approach to the Lord is mixed with Aishwarya and Gyan. So he will speak Bhagavatam, and you will get Gyan, and you'll get Aishwarya. But he's not a Rasika Bhakta. So you will get some bhakti from that Shravan, but it will be tinged with Aishwarya and Gyan. because that's the speaker is giving that. That's why Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami in his Tika and these five things, he makes a qualification. We should hear the Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sangha, in the association of a Rasika Bhakta, because he will give us Bhakti Ras. What do we want? Do we want Gyan? Are you a Gyan Mishra Bhakta or a Karma Mishra Bhakta? Like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted so many things from the Lord. Like we tell people, oh, you want this, you want that, worship Krishna. So you're just telling people to become like Dhruva. Dhruva's a Karma Mishra Bhakta. We say, forget it. What do you want? You should want Prema. You should take Prema. Namo Mahavana Jaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. We are the agents of Mahaprabhu. We've come to get Prema. We come to get Prema and give it. We're not going to give you a new car, a new house. We'll give you Krishna Prema. We'll give you a house and we'll give you a kunj in the spiritual world. A seva kunj. We'll give you your own seva kunj in the spiritual world. Right next to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is in seva kunj. And he has so many kunjas, so many upakunjas. There's vans and upavans. Kunjas and upakunjas. Well, you want a new car and a Jaya Jagadisha Hare? Give me a new car and a house by the sea. You know? Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya. No, we say forget that. We say leave this world. Janma Mritu Jaravyadi Dukha Dosha Nadarshanam. You want this? Dukha Dosha. Janma Mritu Jaravyadi Tanda Garam. Tanda, oh, Bhut Tanda. Bhut Garam. Bhut Tanda. Oh. Then a few months later, oh, Bhut Garam. This is a place of suffering. Adi Atmika Klesha, Adi Bodhika Klesha, Adi Devaka Klesha, but we want to stay here and love this world and love my job and love my family and love my business. You fool! You mudha, murka, gara. Get out! So, the sadhu, the quality of the sadhu, he will influence the Harikata. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.